Welcome to the next episode of Fresh Out of Tokens podcast with Tanya, who is very, very tired and clearly can't even do the intro this episode. We just got back from Indiecade a couple days ago. To my virtual right, as always, is David, if you want to say hello.
Hello.
You sound far more energetic than I feel.
Wow.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. That time difference really did a number on me. But I'm very, very excited to have our guests this week. We have Brother Dom from Twitter with us. And, you know, if you want to give out your whole name, feel free when you say hello.
Hello. I'll just go by Dom, Dominic M, just for, because internets, I've been a little bit off the wall recently.
Gotcha. It's all good. So let's get our usual intro business out of the way so we can jump right into our questions. So for those of you listening, we are part of the Geek.fm network, along with Geeks and Sneaks, Chromatic Life, and More Than Bits podcasts. We have teas and other items in the I Need Diverse Games spreadsheet shop. When we split those profits 50-50 with our friend Chachi Bobinks, who designed our logo and banner. There's also a blog to complement the show. Go over to outoftokenscast.wordpress.com to have a more expansive conversation than 140 characters will allow. So if you have compliments, hate mail, questions, you want to be a guest at some point in the near future, that's where you should go, or email us at freshoutoftokens@gmail.com. And with that out of the way, let's jump into our conversation with Dom. So we've really only interacted on Twitter, and I, you know, this is the first chance I've had to actually, you know, talk to you and hear your voice.
I hope it's a treat.
It is. You sound great. But for those folks listening who may not know who you are, what you do, do you want to give us a little bit of background?
Yeah, so I guess I'll start with the basics and then kind of maybe while we're having a conversation. Just kind of fresh out of college in the last two and a half years, and been working as an industrial engineer, so like processes and that kind of jazz, like in hospitals and stuff around the Pennsylvania area, so kind of not related to games at all, but you get to meet a lot of interesting people, so that's just kind of who I am as a person. But more related to, you know, why we might be having this kind of conversation, I am a gaming enthusiast and sort of critic, writer, Twitter miscreant in my spare time. But, you know, just wanted, you know, the gaming press is getting a little bigger, this with the nerdy stuff that you might be seeing, so I comment on that and do a little bit of writing for some various blogs and sites and that sort of thing, so I guess a rookie nerd critic.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's an, I dabble in a couple other things, is, you know, jack of all trades, master of none, but not even the jack, maybe like the 10 of all trades. Doing a little bit of music here and there, writing, looking to get my feet wet in a lot of different areas, but, you know, we all got to start somewhere.
I like that. I'm going to have to steal that one day.
Hey, it's all yours.
So now that you tell us a little bit about you, I'll lob it back over to David for our next kind of get-to-know-you question.
Okay.
I don't know if you've listened to previous episodes of this podcast, but this is usually what comes next. So what got you into gaming?
Yeah, so I've definitely heard the show a few times, and I've been thinking about this, trying to get just the perfect answer.
Sorry. Now we're causing anxiety.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Cautious nervousness. I'm not sure exactly where it started 100%. The first memory I have from games is one time we were walking down the street, yeah, my dad and I, and someone had a yard sale. Well, not really a sale, just a I'm throwing stuff away, you can have it kind of thing. And there was a golden Nintendo cartridge for The Legend of Zelda. I don't know if we ever played it, but I kind of just sparked my interest in the medium. But the first game I vividly remember is Sonic 1. So, I mean, anybody who's interacted with me for more than 15 minutes knows that I'm a huge Sonic fan. That's kind of the basis of all my gaming. So, you know, I used to just watch my dad play and my mom. I think we had secondhand consoles. I'm not sure how we got them. I remember Genesis box, not a lot of other systems, but there was this weird mail system. Mm-hmm. We got some games through the mail, I think, or something. But I remember playing around with Sonic 1, just farting around with it. I couldn't get very far. That game's a lot harder than the subsequent titles are. But one of my most vivid memories with gaming that really just grabbed me is I was watching my dad play Sonic 2. And he was asking my mom, like, oh no, what are the bad guys in this level? And she was looking through the manual saying, oh, watch out for these guys. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And I remember being afraid of the music from the Death Egg. It really freaked me out. So I never saw the ending till I was later. But, you know, just the whole idea of going fast, you know, typical, you know, I was born in 90. So typical 90s attitude, like the Steve Urkel voice, you know, for Sonic, all that stuff. And I just started playing. I like the idea of the speed, you know, saving his pals. There's a two-player mode. I have a younger brother. So we were able to kind of do some co-op on that. So I think that's what really solidified it for me.
Cool.
Yeah, and ever since then, I've been sticking with the highs and the lows through Sonic. So it's been a lot of valleys, but, you know, we power through. I also played some Super Nintendo, that kind of stuff, like Donkey Kong Country 2.
Okay.
It's always funny to look back on, not the old days of games for sure, it's not even that far, but like the medium age, I guess maybe the silver age of games, you could go rent games or buy them secondhand and they'd already be beat, so you could go play the levels and skip what you didn't want to, what you couldn't play through. And I remember Donkey Kong Country 2, I couldn't beat the final boss or like any of the Lost World, like the 102% stuff, but it was already beat, so I could just skip to the ending and play at my content, so that was kind of cool.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. Sega lost the console war, but we're still here.
Yeah, I never thought about that back when we used to keep our save games on the game in the cartridge.
Yeah, it was just right there, and then that was the first time I lost faith in my innocence of the world makes sense, because I saw the game and it said 101%, and I said, how would you know that? This is impossible. I don't know how you can win this. And that was, I think, before like the mainstream like game FAQs and that sort of thing. So, I mean, to get 100% in a game like that where there's stuff behind walls, you had to fall through platforms that looked like they were there and go into bonus worlds inside of bonus worlds. Hats off to all the kids playing those games who had the perseverance, because I was not the one.
Okay. Yeah, I never got that far in a Sonic game. I will admit that. Although you can feel free to laugh at me, but I made kind of a face when you said the year you were born.
Oh no, it's I was just listening to some of the back episodes and I'm like, man, I am a baby.
I was like, Jesus, I was about to graduate high school.
I like seeing the connect between the nerdiness through all the various years. So it's kind of cool to see that it's just getting better and better and everyone's staying part of it.
Oh yeah, I'm going to be, you know, a gamer and a nerd girl until, you know, I take my last breath. That's not going to stop.
Hey, keep going past that too, you know?
I'll just be haunting the arcades if we ever have arcades again.
Hey, one day. That kind of gives me a question. Speaking, you pointed that I was a good bit younger. So you just came back from some conventions and all that, and I'm pretty sure you're all on the circuit with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice a gap between the ages? Just from the ones I've gone to, I see a lot of people that are, let's say, maybe like 30 and up, and then 16 and below. But the college age doesn't seem to be really represented. I'm not sure if that's just where I'm going. Does that seem to be consistent with you?
I think it depends on where you're going. Because IndieCade, okay, there was a huge variety of ages. There were a lot of families that were there. And a lot of people that we saw seemed to be anywhere from like early teens up through 40s, 50s. And like, you know, a little older. A lot of them were probably like working for Intel or some of the game companies that were their own game companies. But I think something like IndieCade is a lot more college-friendly.
Okay. Especially, that's nice to hear.
Yeah, especially if people are, like, in-game design programs, and they're making stuff on their own, that's probably one of the better places to go show their work.
Yeah, it seems like that from just seeing the tweets and all that kind of thing.
But something like, you know, Game Developer Conference, that's like, you're already in the industry.
Right.
They've got like a student day, but it's always kind of locked to people that are local, and you only get a 1-day pass.
Oh, okay. It's more professional. You've been there for a while, kind of thing.
Right, or you're a new professional, but it's also I don't want to say it's keeping people out, but you know, even if you get an expo pass, that's $200, your flight or travel to San Francisco, a week in a hotel. So it's not like the average person could just roll up in a GDC and you know, and get the benefit of it.
Right.
So I think it really depends, but there's so many colleges now with game design programs and not just folks in computer science that are kind of messing around with code.
Right. It's cool to see those programs getting bigger and all that.
Yeah, I mean, my alma mater has one, and it's where Octodad was made.
That's no small thing to shake at.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I haven't actually played Octodad, but I think it's kind of cool that, you know, that's something that came out of that program.
It's very cool. Yeah, my allegiance is more to Squid, so the Octopi kind of got to stay on the other side.
I've got Splatoon. I need to actually play more of it.
I need to probably play less, so we average right in the middle.
Yeah, so you can help me out with my average, because I'm terrible at actually remembering to log in and play it.
I'll keep shouting towards your way.
Okay, be like, go play Splatoon.
Go be a squid or a kid, or both.
But, you know, we keep talking about gaming and writing and everything, and you're a pretty regular contributor to the Lady Geek Girl blog for gaming.
So yeah.
So I'm real curious, how exactly did that happen?
So, I don't know how deep we want to get into that story. It's completely, the odds of it are ridiculous and that sort of thing.
So, go for it. That's what we're here for.
Okay, so just to try to tell it fast, quickly, I've said it, quoted a few times, but, so when I first came into college, I met a friend. The way the engineering floors were, in one of the dorms, there was three male floors and then a female's floor. Unfortunately, I always parried it. We need to have more women in STEAM. But at the time, there was not a whole bunch or that wanted to live on that specific floor, which we're all 18-year-olds going in. We don't know what we need or want. We just pick something. But we'd always go up there. We either had, you know, obviously the women are in the same classes as the men, so we'd go up there for projects or just to hang out, you know. I remember I was on the 8th floor. We always skipped the 10th floor because that was where the weird guys were.
Okay.
So it was us 9 and 11, the girls' floor. So I end up meeting someone up there. I was walking by one day to go meet one of my partners, and I said, "Oh, hey, she's watching like Naruto or something," which I haven't really watched. But I was like, "Cool anime, this is great." And so we just end up having a pretty cool friendship. So she knew some people from high school, who knew some people from high school who actually are the ones who founded the blog, Lady Geek Girl and Friends. So I just became friends with them casually, nothing too serious, just talk about nerdy things here and there. They're actually some of the people I cosplay with a lot, so it keeps it all connected. And they introduced me to one of their, from one of the colleges nearby, a friend from the other side of the state, a black guy who was pretty cool. And as soon as we met each other, we had like an instant bond. You know, we did a Captain Planet pose to form Captain Negro because I had a box of Popeyes. It was completely ridiculous.
Oh my god!
We always bring it up. We're not sure what the five elements are. It's very stereotypical, but you gotta have some fun with it, or you'll drown in society.
You gotta have great drink.
Yeah. Well, that was another one, and then the other three got kind of shady. But yeah, you gotta laugh at that stuff sometimes, especially with the climate of society. But that's another story. So some time goes by, and then one day he just messaged me out of the blue. "Hey man, we need another person of color on the blog. You know, it's we're just looking around. You should look into it." So I said, "Hey, you know what the heck? I'm in college. I have some free time." And I think he had read something I posted on Destructoid's community blogs at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess kind of my first big thing into online writing was a post about the difference between saying someone's a cosplayer or that they're like a black version of that character. So I've done a lot of dressing up as Link in the past, no pun intended. I'm kind of a fake geek boy in that sense that I've only really played one Zelda game, but okay. Whatever, it doesn't matter, cosplay who you want. But people would always say, "Oh, hey, you know, you're Black Zelda." And I'm like, "Well, there's two things wrong with you. You said I'm not Zelda, I'm Link." But I'm not dressed up as any kind of Black-styled Link. I'm just Link. You don't have to say the Black part. That's understood. And that got a little bit of traction on Destructoid's community blogs. It got promoted up and was surprisingly positive. Only one or two people were like, "I don't see why this matters." But, you know, we all get there, so I wasn't mad. Sorry to go off the rails on that. But I think that's kind of what they saw, and they said, "Hey, you should come write for us. You write about nerdiness, diversity, and you seem that you'd be open to feminist ideas." And, you know, I think it's important to admit for people, I wasn't always necessarily on board with some of the stuff with feminism, you know. Growing up, you kind of just are dealing with your own struggles, so I didn't really know that there was a need for it until some of the people online, I started following them, you know, and it's just kind of a confession I'll make, but it's like, man, these people are complaining about nothing, but I really like their writing, so I'll keep following it, and I just kept reading, hey, maybe men should not be jerks, hey, maybe women should have a place in whatever spaces, and after a while, I'm reading this, I'm like, well, they can't be saying this for nothing, that would be ridiculous, and I just started to pay a little bit more attention outside of my own personal bubble, and I was like, oh man, there's a real need for this kind of stuff. And, you know, the woman who runs the blog was like, yeah, you know, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're looking for someone who's willing to grow, someone who's willing to just, you know, give us some perspective and, you know, not to corner you into writing about black issues, but have a perspective that other people don't have. So that's kind of why they wanted to bring me on board. And I think I started with an article about David Willis's Dumbing of Age. It's a webcomic, and I thought it really handled some stuff with diversity pretty well. So that was the first thing I wrote, and it just seems like it's full steam ahead since then. At least two posts a month. I think they'd like me to do more, but between procrastination and lack of inspiration, I'm not quite there yet, but working harder and harder.
Okay.
So I hope that answers. I kind of danced around a little bit, kind of outed myself as someone who's growing still.
Well, you know what? We all have to grow, and it's not like we all just kind of woke up and was like, hey, I understand everything, I'm good, and just kept going.
Yeah. So I really admire the people who are good at that. There's a pretty prolific games writer right now. I don't need to mention the name, but I remember he used to be kind of a jerk. Self-proclaimed was a huge jerk, a lot of offensive things, but one day, I don't know who it was that inspired him. He's like, I need to change. This is wrong. These things actually matter. And, you know, to make that change in the public eye, I think, you know, if someone who can do it, who had an audience maybe for his more jerky aspects, was able to follow him into the, hey, no, now that you're more into quote-unquote social justice things, we'll still follow you because that stuff matters. So I think, you know, if someone can change in the face of the limelight, I think we all have room to change.
Oh, we definitely do. I mean, I still fuck up, and I've been around a while, so.
I mean, yeah, the day that you stop, like, having mistakes is the day that, you know, you've made it. That's probably your last day, your last breath, like you were saying. I think we're always going to make mistakes, but you have to have that willingness to be open to it. And this is just kind of the problem I have with most people is you have to just have that air of, you know, what I'm saying might be wrong. You know, I'm not saying it to be wrong, but everything I say, there could be an issue with it. As far as your, like, political, racial, sexuality, gender questions or issues to your favorite game. Like, I think Sonic 3 and Knuckles is one of the best games ever made. I could be wrong. I accept that I might be wrong. But, you know, I'm willing to be changed with evidence or ideas and that sort of thing.
Okay. Since David is an editor by trade, I'm thinking the next question will be of interest for him.
Ooh, okay, cool.
Maybe. The next question is, what other sites have you written for, or where would you want to write for?
Okay.
Let me try that again. My phone made a noise. What other sites have you written for, or would you like to write for?
Okay, well, so I guess I technically kind of wrote for Destructoid that one time. Kind of a fluke, kind of lucky, but all good. There's a site called 8 Worlds News that showed some interest in working with me, and I have to apologize to them. I haven't had a chance to write anything too specific for them, but they're a Nintendo site, Wii U, 3DS, and that sort of thing, so I definitely want to do some work for them. Ideally, going forward, I'm not sure. There's a lot of places that I admire, and I'm not sure if I have the chops just yet. I'd like to write for Offworld. You know, I really appreciate the stuff that Leah Alexander does. You know, she's one of the people who's a huge inspiration to the work that I do. So I'd like to write something in her direction one time. Any of the sites just kind of focus diversity, black issues, gaming issues, that kind of stuff. I've been thinking on it. There's no sites specifically because I feel like it'd be imposing a little bit. You know what I mean?
No. What do you mean imposing?
Like, I feel that if I say, hey, I'd like to write for you, that it feels that part of me is saying, oh, I deserve to be. But that's not necessarily the direction I'm trying to come from, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. And I'm going to have a moment of fussing at you, if you don't mind.
Please do. It's, like I said, I want to learn.
saying I'd like to write with you or write for you is not coming and saying I deserve to write for you. It's like, I like what you do. I would like to contribute to you if you'll have me.
That's true. And I think that tonal difference is huge. That's the whole difference in attitude, I think, is big there.
Because, I mean, this actually came up at when we were at IndieCade on the journalism panel about people not, you know, kind of discounting themselves or thinking that they can't make it or anything like that. Because, I mean, you're already writing for a site. And if there's places you really like what they do, you like the feel of their site, and you think that what you can do can contribute, it's different than going, here's an unsolicited pitch. Give me either money or airtime or space on your blog or your site. That's being, you know, I deserve a shot.
Yeah, and that kind of stuff just completely skeeves me out. And I always want to make sure I'm checking myself to not fall in that territory. I don't think I would be, but there's always just kind of a cautiousness about it. Especially, I do come from, you know, I do have the privilege of being a male in our society, so I never want to try to give the impression that I think my voice necessarily should be overshadowing anyone else's, even if that's not my intent. Just try to stay cognizant of those kind of things.
Oh, and see, that's great. So I think there's a vast difference between your fear and what's actually going on when you say, "Hey, I want to write for, let's say, Offworld or Gamma Sutra or something." So I think it just really depends,
right? But all those sites, those kind of things, you know. It's kind of where my inspirations are. You know, the Spawn on Me guys, when they do some writing, Black Girl Nerds, you know, all that stuff just it really speaks to me. And I'd like to say something positive in their way if I could, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we love our dudes on Spawn on Me.
those are some cool guys. I got to give them that kind of credit.
Yeah, so hit them up. You know, they are all about helping out other brown folks and getting our voices heard. So you should really talk to Cicero and Khalif.
Yeah, that would be, you know, really legit to just get some words from them. You know, to have the full voice from Brocago. It's definitely a place, you know, have it on your list of places you want to visit.
Definitely. So my next question is just totally indulgent and actually has nothing to do with gaming at all. But this has always been, like, my curiosity about your screen name.
Yes.
And if there's, like, a story behind it, or is it just like, hey, I'm a black dude, my name's Dom. I just always wanted to know.
Okay, well, you know, first things first, refrain from quoting Nicki Minaj lyrics. First things first, so I appreciate anyone who says it brother instead of brother. It is a conscious effort to have that T-H-A, just trying to keep the vernacular involved. But it comes from high school in a way that was definitely dancing on the line to offensive, but no one meant any harm by it, and then maybe they weren't even being offensive.
Okay.
So I went to a predominantly white school, graduating classes of 100, give or take a few, and I think the peak we had was 13 black kids at one time, so 13 out of 400 at the peak. But my class was 1% black, and for anyone who's bad at math, 1% of 100 is 1, so I was the only black kid in my class. And then my brother in his class as well, give or take a few. But we always played soccer together, but for some reason there's a lot of people in our school district that are my year, skip a year, then have a sibling that year. So just people that are like a year and a half, 2 years apart. So there was a lot of occasions of an older brother and a younger brother, or sister, younger sister, mix and match, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of us just happened to be playing soccer. So I think at one point there were three sets of siblings on our soccer team. And I remember they called one of the sets the brothers, whatever their last name is, and I'll just refrain from saying it, but let's say it's Smith or something. They called him the brother Smith. And it just never stuck because it just didn't work. They got different nicknames. So they called me Brother Dom and Brother B. My brother's name's Brandon. So okay. I don't know why they gave him the full brother, and I got brother. I don't know why.
Okay.
But it just never stuck with him either. So all the other people that were brothers, either, you know, brothers that, being black, or brothers that are just, you know, siblings, it never stuck with anyone but me. And it just kind of went away for a while. Then I started trying to get different aliases, like, you know, what do I want my name to be? I kind of do some rapping on the side, like, because 8 Mile came out when I was in school, so everyone wanted to rap. And I stumbled upon DJ Memo, because I thought the word memo was cool, and DJ Khaled could do it, so could I.
Okay.
But there's someone that's in some Hispanic or Latin-originated location, there's a DJ Memo that's sort of famous. So that Facebook group still gets ads from people that I have no idea who they are or how they found me, but they're looking for the famous one. And I'm like, man, I got to get something that's more me. So I just went back to Brother Dom, and luckily there's no one really on it anywhere. So that's probably 9 times out of 10. If you search Brother Dom, it's going to be me, which is kind of nice to have that brand recognition that people love so much. But yeah, it's just kind of stuck that way. I'm the Brother Dom out of me and Brother B, and mine just stuck.
Okay.
The unfortunate thing is, speaking of Twitter, someone made a parody account of me.
What?
In college. Yeah, so, like, I guess I kind of pissed off the wrong person, which I believe that completely. That sounds feasible, but they made a Twitter account of me with the at Dom Malloy, which, so that's my real name that people would search, which kind of sucks. And they made the name, like, Gangsta Dom, and I'm like, oh, God. So they just tweeted, like, a bunch of, like, ignorant stuff for about, like, 5 tweets talking about, like, things were, like, semi-misogynistic that come from the rap, you know, lifestyle. And I'm like, no, that's not me. That has my real name. And they, like, took a picture, like, from my Facebook. So I'm like, oh, this is someone who knows me, who goes to my school, who's mad at me. And so I was like, hey, Twitter, you should ban that because that's impersonation and they're trying to make me look bad. And they're like, yeah, send us your ID. I'm like, oh, that's a bit much. But I don't think they got around to it still. And this is, like, since 2011. So, you know, that Twitter harassment policy is really really some good stuff.
Wow.
But, yeah, so if you're ever looking for me, yeah, I guess I just kind of said my last name, but there it is. But, yeah, if you're looking for me on Twitter or anywhere and it's my real name and a non-professional picture, it's definitely not me. So steer clear of that.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it would be more of an honor if it would have been someone who tried to, like, you know, dox me or impersonate me to, like, defame me in, like, gaming press, because that means I would have made it. But no, it's just someone who got mad at something I did in school.
Wow, which, no one has yet made a parody account of me that I know of.
This, you know, that means you're irreplaceable, though. You know, you get the I Need Diverse game started. It's hard shoes to fill.
I mean, we'll see. I figure one day it could happen.
Yeah, knock on wood, you don't want it to, you know?
Oh, I don't. I've seen that happen on Tumblr a lot and on Twitter to a bunch of people, and I'm just like, that's okay. I don't need that much notoriety.
Oh, that's it. Tumblr's been out of control recently. It's such a shame. I don't even want to get into that whole storm. It's just very disappointing when you have a lot of people who are either very social justice-y or claim to be tend kind of go the opposite way. It's just kind of a letdown.
Yeah, Tumblr's, like, half the time it's a cesspit, half the other time it's something.
You know, it's really the internet as a whole. It's funny. I've seen people go on, you know, Tumblr, 4chan, and Reddit. They seem to be the holy trinity of people that hate each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've seen people, like, when I'm in computer labs, just surfing Reddit on, like, the what's new today. And, you know, you talk to them, they don't have any of the opinions that are commonly associated with the hateful stuff that comes out of Reddit. But then you also see people on Reddit that are like, oh, we're going to send pizzas to sick kids in hospitals. But then you see people, hey, let's dox as many people as possible and spread the fappening. So it's really the most, like, it's the internet distilled as far as are you chaotic evil? Or are you more true neutral or more of a lawful good? I think everybody's there. And I think Tumblr kind of falls into that trap as well, where, you know, the stuff I'm seeing is mostly just Splatoon memes, the occasional hentai, unfortunately, trying to, with John Cena's face or something. But it's a lot of just, like, black kids talking about how, like, black girls are magic or black cosplay is cool. So when people say, you know, Tumblr just threatened an artist off there for misrepresenting characters, I said, where's this happening? I believe you, but it's a shock to me. You know, we're all talking about, you know, coconut oil and pics and stuff, and you're over there getting mad because someone drew Pearl's nose too pointy or something. I don't get where that hate comes from the same people that are saying, hey, you know, let's make a spot for, you know, women and minorities, but don't misrepresent our art. That just seems a little bit, just jarring to me. So it's kind of unfortunate, but I think it's just part of the internet that there's going to be all sorts of factions on there.
Well, the article you're referring to, and I actually retweeted that today from someone, and it's a deeper issue, because, I mean, that for me, it kind of tied into representation, and this is slightly a tangent.
Please go. I was curious about it. I didn't want to derail anything, but I'm curious.
And again, I'm taking it with a grain of salt, because I'm not in the Steven Universe fandom.
I'm periphery.
Like, I know it exists. I've watched a few episodes, but I'm not really knowledgeable about the fan art and the fanfic.
It's gay space rocks. It's awesome.
True. But I guess this person had been whitewashing some of the characters, and Steve's mom, Rose Quartz, was drawing her really skinny or something.
Yeah, so...
And...
I've seen that kind of thing happen. I wasn't sure if this was the artist, and I'm not here to justify or split the hairs. That's kind of one of the things that confuses me. I don't get to see these articles, and obviously I don't have any inclination to watch this harassment one-on-one, but I'm curious as to what people mean by it. I've seen a lot of, people will go to bat for the Crystal Gems and the Kegger saying, oh, you know, they have no race, they're just aliens, which, if you want to ride that boat, that's fine, I'll get on board with that. But then as soon as people will start drawing these characters, you know, the one that's kind of whitish peach will stay that color, the purple one stays purple, but the one that may have been construed as black starts to get lighter, so all of a sudden they do have these racial overtones once one can be whitewashed. The same thing, you know, body acceptance, until they start just, then they want to draw Rose Quartz skinny, just because of their aesthetic reasons. And I'm not here to condone the harassment. I think it's perfectly fine to say, hey, you know what you did? It kind of makes me uncomfortable. Or I think maybe you want to do that a little different. But just to be out and out harassing people, just sending hateful things, it's, you know, trolls online always say it, but I think we could say it to some of the social people is like, you know, if you don't like someone's art and it's not offensive, you don't have to look at it, you know what I mean? So I just think it's terrible that people went after this person. Even if I don't know what the trope is, you know, like when you're well intentioned and you have a good reason to do something, but you're doing the wrong thing.
That's not a trope. That's kind of being insensitive.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. You know, so if I were to meet this person, I'd say, hey, you know, I think the art you made is insensitive, but I wish you the best. I don't have a problem with you as a person. This could be a learning opportunity.
Well, see, that's the hard part, though, because when that happens, and I swear we'll get off this tangent, I mean, we can get back to the questions. you can't assume intent. That's one thing.
Right.
But for this to have made, like, an internet news site, and I didn't see it because I'm not in that fandom, but similar things have happened in the Dragon Age fandom where someone whitewashed Vivienne. You know, like, her character was revealed, and not even a day later, someone... not just whitewashed her, basically remade her into what looked like another character from the series and called all of her black features ugly. And that's, yeah. You know, that's just flat out racist bullshit.
Yeah, that makes me completely uncomfortable, like, in the most polite ways. It's uncomfortable, but yeah, it's pissing me off completely to say, oh, I didn't whitewash them. Like, well, you made someone's afro into, like, thin curls. You reduced their lips, you know, all these kind of things. They seem purposeful, and, you know, I can't tell you your intent, but I'm just telling you what this looks like, maybe.
Right, and that's and that's the hard part, though, because apparently if this person kept doing it and their art became known, because, I mean, realistically, if this person had been a shitty artist, would anyone have even noticed?
Yeah, no, if they would have attributed to just bad art, it wouldn't have been a thing.
So, yeah, I mean, that's such a complex thing, and we can talk about that more once we're done recording.
Oh, yeah, put in the bonus hours.
But, you know, it's just really hard because there's so little representation. When someone seems to willfully take that away, that's when it happens. And I am never on board with death threats or telling somebody to go kill themselves.
Oh, that's
I would just
horrible.
Yeah, I mean, I would just block them. Be like, okay, I don't like your art, you're whitewashing, you're whatever you're doing. I don't have to look at it, but I'm not going to tell somebody to go kill themselves. And that's the line that I draw.
Oh, that's a firm line. There's no excuse for it. There's no reason. That's point blank.
Yeah, but, you know, we've gotten to a point where this is acceptable discourse to send someone anonymous hate until you're caught. And then it's like, oh, well, I didn't mean it. Or, no, you're sorry you got caught.
Yeah. That's a whole other thing. I mean, if there's time after we get through some of the other stuff, we can talk about the whole how my generation is completely using it as a cop out. There's zero excuse. There's absolutely zero.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be sidetracked too long. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. But this actually gives us a really good segue into the next question.
Yeah, actually, it does. Because your last couple of articles on Lady Geek Girl were about cosplay. I think we talked about the article on not having to do brown blackface to have accurate cosplay on here.
Uh-huh.
I swear we talked about something like that.
We did. There was an article, yeah. I think when we talked to Tim from The Savage, I'm forgetting the whole name of his comic. But when we talked to Tim Lewinson, that came up.
Yeah, yeah. So, do you have any more thoughts that didn't make it into that?
pertaining to specifically skin changing, or just as cosplay no-nos in general?
I would say cosplay in general.
Yeah. Okay.
And that didn't make it into the articles you've written so far, I suppose, would be the right way to say that.
Okay, no, that I like that question. Actually... we go through a pretty good editing process. Quick shout out to the editors on that site. They are very fantastic. I'm making a little mwah motion right now. I really wanted to kind of try to, without losing focus too much, just kind of go into all the racist, not racist, but just offensive BS that's in costumes right now. The hard part, I'm not always great with focus on some of the things I write, so I kind of brought this out, and also I didn't want to step on any toes because I'm still learning as well. But one of the things I wanted to say no for was there's a Caitlyn Jenner costume, and it's completely offensive, and I don't appreciate it in any way. So for those who don't know, and I guess trigger warning for transphobia, there's just this it's just a red dress with like a little like beauty pageant type sash. It says something like "Hi, I'm Caitlyn," or like "My name is Caitlyn," or something.
Uh-huh.
But they always make sure that the packaging is like a burly, hairy guy, and the implication is that Caitlyn Jenner is just a man wearing a dress. Now, I don't think I need to explain why that's transphobic or just gross and problematic in general. I think it's pretty clear-cut. So I wanted to put something about that, but I didn't know how to really fit that in that article without derailing the focus a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that was something that was kind of left on the cutting room floor, saying... You know, don't wear, like, transphobic costumes. But actually, I think I wrote something the previous week about, and I didn't want to contradict myself by accident, talking about free expression of gender things. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm very fascinated by. I noticed that at a convention, there's, like, a lot of, like, dude bro dudes. I don't know how. Guys that you would imagine are, like, watch football and stuff pretty frequently, and that are frats, but they frequently cosplay Madoka, and they wear like the frilly dress, the high socks, and they like wigs and all that, and even wear makeup sometimes, but they keep their beards and their legs hairy, kind of as like a, oh hey, I'm still a guy kind of thing. And I've seen people that have the opinion that that's kind of either lazy or borderline offensive, and I'm not here to tell them that that's not the case, but my perspective on it is, as someone who has cosplayed female characters before, there's a huge difference between wearing that "I am Caitlyn" dress and trying to be making a joke out of someone's gender and saying, you know what, I'm a guy, but I want to try to wear makeup, or I'd like to wear this skirt, and I still like the things that are quote-unquote man-coded, like, say, a beard, which, again, a beard is, it's not actually gendered, but our society tends to have that way. I think that's a much different thing. You know, I've done costumes. I was, Cadence from Crypto the NecroDancer before, which shout out to like the three people who knew me, and I did like a Rosalina kind of crossplay remix sort of thing, and it was never meant as a as a transphobic gesture. It was more of a, I like this character who happens to be a different gender than my own, and I'd like to dabble and see what that is. I think that was actually the previous week's article that I had posted. So I didn't want to delve too much into the no-nos of gender, especially since I don't feel that I'm qualified to say what people can and can't do in regards to how they would express their gender.
Mm-hmm.
And I say express as, you know, sometimes you'd like to express a gender other than what yours is. But I think it's pretty easy and clear-cut to say don't do transphobic jerk stuff. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
And also, I think we should, not that it would offend anybody, but I think we should ban simple Mario Brothers costumes because they're played out and boring and whack, so no one should do this. Remix well,
that,
is okay.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, it's... I hate on college campuses, you see all the guys who, like, bought a Mario Brothers costume that day. Like, come on, man, like, cut it and make it a zombie or something, but that's trite. That's all the $10 words for played out and whack.
Oh my god. No more Mario costumes.
Just standard. You know, I saw a Mario Brothers that was like a Wrecking Crew kind of thing. Totally on the table. Completely fine.
Okay. It's,
just don't give me the basic overalls. Come on, like, we're all better than that.
Look, I can barely sew on a button. Hats off to you for doing cosplay.
Oh, hey, I'm fine with people who buy them. You know, these guys bought theirs. There's so many you can buy. Just don't buy the boring ones.
Okay. Well, you know, since I've done a little writing as well, one thing I'm curious about, especially with other folks who write, is, like, how do you choose your article topics? Like, do you wait for something to kind of grab your attention, or do you actually get assignments from the editors at Lady Geek Girl?
So ours is pretty free. They're really nice about saying, hey, you know, as long as it's in our wheelhouse of things we write about, feel free to write about it. So my problem or benefit is I kind of need to be pissed off to write something, in my opinion, prolific. You know, we have our Web Crush Wednesday series, which is, you know, highlighting something on the internet that we are fond of. So I've done podcasts and different sites, and that's a little bit more, you know, something grabbing my attention at the moment. You know, reviews, things that I find interesting. You know, I've done Splatoon and Crypto the NecroDancer games that just grabbed me for some reason. But it's mostly just, is something pissing me off, or does it seem relevant, like it needs to be talked about? I think I co-wrote something about when Iwata passed, so I mean, obviously wasn't upset about that, but that grabbed me. It's just kind of whenever things pop up. It's tricky since we schedule a little bit in advance of who will be writing when, just to make sure we get control of it.
Okay.
But there was a nice little stretch there while I was just writing about Steven Universe and Splatoon. I said, I need to get over these. But just if there's anything relevant, you know, with Halloween coming up and convention season kind of hitting its apex or end, however you see it, I thought it was important to write about, you know, don't be crappy about gender, don't be crappy about race. I already saw too many people wearing Native American headdresses before even last weekend. It's just completely a shame. So just that kind of thing is... hopefully if things are relevant, things that pop up. It's yeah. Just a kind of that.
Okay.
You mentioned in your bio at Lady Geek Girl that you rant about race, and
yeah,
we like that here.
Oh, that's good.
Is there anything in particular gaming-wise that you'd like to rant briefly about with us?
Yeah. There's so many things. It's hard to pick one. Just the idea. So the thing that's just been completely putting me on the edge of just Shitsville is the idea that adding, like, minorities is somehow tokenism or pandering or something. Like, you have, like cisgender, heterosexual white dudes saying, oh my god, they put a black woman in a game that's pandering. I'm like, every game looks like you. That's the definition of pandering, and you're mad that, you know, we have... like, one character who's a stereotype of all things, you know? That's just the kind of thing that's just been completely putting me just over the edge, is the people saying, I can't believe you're adding this character or that character, or why are you giving people an option? And it's just weird and ironic that... I don't know if ironic's the word, but people say, oh, you know, race doesn't matter, why can't you just play the game for the story? That it's like, okay, well, as a black guy, I want to see a black person. And they're like, oh, you know, I see someone I can't relate to. How am I supposed to enjoy this game? And I'm like, the way that I have for the past 20 years, you know, I don't want to just relate to blue hedgehogs and space foxes and that sort of thing. It'd be nice to see a character who relatively looks like me or something. Like, one of the articles I wrote for Lady Geek Girl was talking about the amazing lack of diversity and faux pas they made in Smash Bros. So it's not necessarily a hit on Smash Bros. Specifically, but just more endemic of the Nintendo franchise as a whole. Are you all familiar with any fighting games specifically?
Yeah, I have Smash Brothers. You know, like, I've been playing Street Fighter since it was in the arcade, so...
Yeah, so you know about the whole phenomenon of palette swaps, right?
Yeah.
And all that. So, one group I want to give huge kudos to is the Skullgirls team, you know, for the pitfalls that Skullgirls does have, some of the things that are weird with representation.
It is an extraordinarily bouncy game for...
Yeah, which it really detracts sometimes, I think, from how quality the actual animation itself is, but not only that, but the gameplay itself. There's a lot of interesting things, I thought, and that's kind of like people who have, like, skeleton zombies coming out of their head and they can do Scorpions Get Over Here. I could gush about how I'm balanced with that game all day.
Squiggly's my favorite. I'm on
I love
board.
Squiggly. She has Leviathan. Oh, it's great. But they have a lot of palette swaps that are shout-outs to other games. For instance, the main character, Philia, has a shout-out to Panty and Stockings character, I want to say Scanty. So she has, like, red skin, green hair, and all that. So what Skullgirls does is their palette swaps, when they swap to a character that they're referencing, the character's skin changes. So no, Philia has a lot of brown colors. The clone of her, Fukua, has brown colors. Most of the characters, I think, have at least one brown swap. So, like, okay, cool. You know, you kind of made the game very bouncy and cheesecakey, but you did say, hey, we have some black characters, but there's palette swaps if you like that kind of thing. Smash Bros. Does not have that, mostly. And that was the main thing that really kind of punched me in the stomach. So, you know, you have Mario, you flip through all his palettes, skin stays the same. Peach stays the same. Little Mac gets a little tan, but he kind of had the whole, like, Rocky Balboa anything. He looked like he's been in the sun anyway. But none of the characters have brown palette swaps, even the villager from Animal Crossing, who I think, I've never played those games, but apparently you can get tan in them, but there's no brown swaps for them. But there are two characters that you can have brown skin for in that game. The first is Ganondorf, a bad guy, of a brown race of bad people, and Dark Pit can get two brown swaps as a skin color. So regular Pit, you know, the angel, the good guy, does all his skin color stays the same, but Dark Pit goes through a different cycle, but also has two pretty brown ones. And I'm like, hey, Nintendo, you can't judge intent, but it kind of stinks that the only people who can be brown are bad guys. And that just was hugely glaring to me right away. Like, I can't make Rosalina, like, one of my favorite characters, she can't be brown. Like, even though, like, a tall, brown Rosalina could give off some Beyonce vibes, it could be cool, but no, we don't get that. But we get, you know, the fallen angel kind of character, he can be brown. The guy who's the ultimate embodiment of evil in Zelda gets to be brown. That kind of stuff really screws with me, that people aren't being aware of the mistakes or pitfalls they're falling into. So those are my gaming rants. Put brown people in your games. Or give us brown swaps, at least.
Okay, I mean, and that's more than fair, because I haven't played enough Smash Brothers to really realize that. But, you know, there's not really a lot of brown folks in most of the fighting games that we play.
Yeah, there's really not. I mean, I guess Street Fighter has theirs. You're doing the balancing act of the brown characters are caricatures, but then so is everyone else, so you have to start to draw the line, what offends who, and that gets kind of fuzzy. Hey, Skullgirls has a brown character. She's Egyptian. It's cool. It's great. But you have a lot to battle through with that game as well. So that's a hit or miss recommendation for people.
Yeah,
that made me sad. They make the game. There's a lot of scantily clad characters. Which okay. So they finally release a male character, male man, whichever you prefer, a man character. And he's completely covered from head to toe. I mean, he's a robot and has, like, a giant tuba body that makes sense in context. But I was like, your first boy character that you release cannot be clothed head to toe after you have all these, like, very scantily clad women. Like, that's not a good look, Lab Zero. but they have Beowulf, who's a wrestler. He's kind of has some of the...
Also very bouncy.
He's bouncy, too?
Yeah.
See, it's not a quality, but people are aware that you gotta have everybody be bouncy. Except for robots, everyone else can be bouncy.
David, by bouncy, what do you mean?
Oh, like, like his groin is very bouncy.
See, okay. I'm not sure who that's fan servicey for, but I think I did see some of the animations. They went there with it.
At least it's consistent.
They're all under the same gravity, so I do give them credit for being an equal opportunity bounce factory. we'll have to see if that stands, if there's more Skull Boys, but the art style, if nothing else, it's lovingly crafted. If you see some of the sketches they do, everyone there really appreciates the idea of artistic pursuit, even if it doesn't appeal to some. They did give a lot of effort, so I have to give them hats off.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm just, my brain kind of shorted out when you said that. I was like, jiggle yeah. physics for a dude, how does that, well.
I mean, I think he has pecs that might bounce a little bit depending on the way you see. I'm not sure. I haven't downloaded the character. My computer's is not a fan of anything that's harder to run than Crypt and, like, Undertale and stuff.
You can turn off the 3D stages to where it's just, like, the 2D background, and it runs a lot better.
I'll have to give that a shot. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Random I had skull to do, gold tip.
I had to do that, and I'm not sure if I got a video card after or before I had to do that, and I never changed it. I might just be able to run it now.
Hey, if you could do that, it's worth a shot. Like, it's like all watercolor and jazzy and stuff. It's worth a shot.
Okay, I'm going to have to check out Skullgirls. I don't know why, I just never, like, got on my radar, but this is, like, the third or fourth episode where someone has mentioned it now.
Really? It's cool. And, you know, it is pretty fan service-y. It's, I'd be lying if I said, oh, no, it disgusts me. Like, it's something that's cool to look at, but at the same time, there's a lot going on there that you could tell the team cared about it. And there are a couple characters like, really? Like, you could have done this differently, but
yeah.
It's plus, but I mean, there's a zombie girl. She's cool. She sings. It's amazing.
And there's they have, like, stark departures from fan service too, but it's always very deliberate.
Yeah. There's like people
the skid shifter and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a character who, like, uses her blood to jettison herself around. It's very macabre. So it kind of seems tongue-in-cheek, but that works varying levels for different people, so to each their own.
Yeah.
Huh. Look at the soundtrack. Soundtrack's good no matter what. It's very jazzy, very cool.
Okay. I'll have to check it out, like, this weekend, because I plan to not talk to a single soul unless I absolutely positively have to after I get home from work on Friday.
It's a good weekend for some jazz, then.
Yes.
We should talk offline about soundtracks and games. I could go on for years about that.
Okay. Yeah, because I have an impressive OST collection.
Ooh, very jealous.
Most of it I just got through Spotify. Some I actually have bought. But we start talking about that, we'll never finish the show.
Some other day.
Yeah, when you come back, we can talk about music in games.
Lovely, yeah. It's one of my favorite genres.
But speaking of when you come back to visit with us, kind of what's next on the horizon for you to finish off this segment of the show?
So there's a lot that I have ideas of. So a lot of it's getting my foot in the door. A lot of it's kicking myself in the butt and not being lazy and waiting till Sunday to write a Tuesday post. But I'm looking into starting some kind of podcast and stuff. I have some ideas for things that I don't know if they'll ever get started, but if I could get them out and five people listen to them, that'd be a victory for me. But just looking into some stuff that's kind of going a little bit in the ways of like personal conversations with people. So, I mean, it pretty much just is another podcast, but in the nerdy space. The comedian Pete Holmes, he has a podcast where they get into some really deep territory. You know, it's they talk about comedy because they're comedians. So they say comedy, sex, God. So essentially comedy, then, like, what are your relationships like? How do you feel about sex and that kind of thing? You know, really personal things. But it's in a way that he has a really good art of saying, hey, it's nice to see you, and then people just want to spill their guts. But they both go back and forth. So it's never uncomfortable, but it would be if you were, like, just came into it without knowing. And then they talk about, like, you know, how you feel spiritually, or which, like, religion, what do you think happens after you pass, that kind of thing. So, and there's no wrong answers, you know, everyone comes from a different place. But it's kind of like philosophy mixed with comedy. And I think it'd be cool to have that in the nerdy sphere, because you look around so much and I feel that people kind of either get pushed into a you're nobody or you're a celebrity kind of thing, you know what I mean? But along that, we never see people as people. I think the people that get brought up often, they often talk about these things that, you know, we all listen to music, we all go to the bathroom, we all eat, we all have our ups or our downs, you know, we all have varying degrees of romantic interests, either fully 100 and all we can think about is love, all the way down to zero and that's just not your bag of chips, and that's fine. But we all have these different backgrounds, but it kind of comes down to, especially with Thou Shall Not Be Named happening, it's either become you're for us or against us and everything. So it kind of makes it hard to open up and say, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to somebody about the thing that I went through when I was 5 that got me into games writing, because that might come back to dox me later. And I totally understand that, but I want to get nerd culture, that kind of stuff, back to an area where it's, hey, you know what? We can go in comment sections and not fear seeing slurs. I can post something on the internet. I can say, hey, does anybody need me in times of a disaster and not worry about getting doxed? I can say, hey, so-and-so just recently came out, and either they need support or that maybe they can help me going through it. And that person can feel free saying, this is my experience, without worrying about it coming back to them. So I know that's not going to happen right away, but that's something I'd like to foster in the long run, even if a show like that started out pretty casually and just people just kind of shooting the show a little bit without being too deep. But that's something I'm looking into. Looking into helping some people out on some games. I have a friend who works on games, and he's kind of an indie guy. Well, he's indie. I hope I can do some voice stuff for him one day, and if not, we'll just kick it in the backyard. But all that kind of stuff, just kind of getting involved with gaming, music, working on some remixes with some people, so there should be some nice stuff on the horizon pretty soon through OC Remix, so keep your eyes peeled for Overclocked Dissembled, the kind of the rap collective over there. That's pretty much all that's coming up, just some writing, should be writing for a few different people. Yeah, that's it. And okay. If someone with a ton of money and resources listening, you should make an ESPN, but for nerdy stuff, you know, they have a lot of good programs on there that would translate perfectly into nerd culture.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so whoever's listening with all that money, come hook a brother up.
Yeah, Brother Dom, here, right here for you. Got the ideas.
Cool. Well, you know, if you decide to start a podcast, you know, we'll signal boost you and try to help you get off the ground.
Yeah, appreciate that. You know, it's I'll make sure it's in a place where people know I have my head on straight before I just send out. I won't send out garbage. I wouldn't put anyone's name on the line like that.
Yeah, podcasting is an interesting thing now that we've been on the other side of the mic for a while.
Yeah, it's got to be weird. It's I think this is the second or third time I've talked to people. I mean, even using this microphone to talk, but it's on something that might be recorded, and it's the weirdest thing. You know, you say, oh, I'm going to be just comfortable when I jump on when I get on the mic, and you're like, oh, crap. I'm wearing headphones, like I'm echoing in my head, but I'm not on the microphone. I'm watching Audacity spike. I'm trying to control my voice. I'm trying to say, it's completely different monster. You don't want to talk too little, too much. I talk too much already.
Wait till you hear yourself. That's the trippy part.
I've heard it through some music recording, and I hate my voice, so I'm used to hating it.
Okay.
It's going to take some cajoling to try to listen to this episode when it comes out.
Oh, I'll just nag you, and I have no shame. I'll just nag you on Twitter and be like, have you listened? Have you listened?
But if you call me out in public, it'll be done that day.
So luckily, we actually got a question to ask you.
Heck yeah.
Because sometimes we get questions, sometimes we don't. You know, like, I have no shame. I will be like, so-and-so is going to be on the show. Do you have questions? And sometimes it works. Other times I fail my my charisma check.
So you got to roll the D6 and go for a 6 instead of the D20. It's too complex.
Yeah, but, well, charisma modifier. I have a very low charisma modifier. But, you know, I've already kind of dominated the conversation on the host side, so... David, do you want to ask our lone question?
Sure. Thane1982, Tim, writes, I love your piece on accessibility. What are some accessibility features you feel are essential or overlooked, which are opposite concepts?
So there's a couple. So I think essential accessibility things need to be, if your game involves voice acting, there needs to be text. That's just 100% needs to be there. Either people may be hard of hearing, deaf, or just can't play with headphones in or something. Colorblind modes, especially in games that require color. Splatoon has a nice colorblind mode, from what I understand, if I recall. World of Warcraft, I heard, has one. Games like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, You don't really need the color as much. It's just your fingers in the right position. Half the time you lose that. So colorblind stuff's big. I think it seems like it's overlooked. Maybe I haven't done the research for it, but epilepsy checks and that sort of thing. So I was playing Mario Kart the other day, and, you know, when you're in the zone and when you're privileged and have, I guess what you consider able-bodied attributes, I don't know the correct way to say that, you kind of just focus in on your racer, your car, and the stuff around you, and you're like, okay, cool. But I was watching my brother play and said, man, there's some really intricate backgrounds are beautiful, you know, some of the mountains are pristine, but then there's a level called Electrodome or something. Is that Ninja Turtles? Or am I don't know. But there's like a techno disco level, and there's just flashing lights everywhere. And, you know, personally, I'm not bothered by that, but I know that there are people who that could trigger pretty hard. And I don't know how people feel about trigger warnings or anything like that, but it'd be nice to turn stuff like that off. You know, I want to play games with my parents a little bit more, and I know they see the three-dimensional things, and they're like, oh, it's too complex. But some of that stuff gives them a headache even. So it's just one of those things, especially for Nintendo, a company that unofficially, I don't know, seems to be the company that wants to give experiences for kids and their parents. And it seems that, you know, maybe you have a kid with some kind of disability issues, or maybe a parent, or it might be difficult to see. And it's a weird disconnect to have to tell your kid, I can't play that with you because it gives me a headache, or you can't play that with me because it'll trigger epilepsy. And I think that's something that could be looked into a little bit more.
Okay, I actually hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, it's just my friend mentioned that his girlfriend has epilepsy, and I never thought about. He's like, yeah, I can't take her to this concert because it would be ridiculous. And I thought, oh, well, you're completely right. And then it started me thinking about some of the games I play. Like, oh man, just being aware of, you know, how would this affect someone who's not me? And some of that stuff is, oh wow, the flashing happens a lot. So yeah.
One thing that makes me think of is PC games. I'm not sure. A lot of them used to, like Morrowind did, and etc. They always had, like, you could limit, like with Fallout you still can, you can limit like the number of light sources and so on, which they put in there for, you know, so you can run it if you don't have the best computer. And consoles generally don't have that because it's not a compatibility issue, but right. Something like that might be good to have, and they already usually have the tools to just do that.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably a few switches or something like that, and I think it could go a long way for the people it affects. I mean, the people who it doesn't affect, I'm not going to notice if you change some settings, but the people that it does affect, I think it could mean the world to them, and I think it's worth it for those people.
Yeah. Witcher 3 has colorblind settings, actually.
Man, Witcher 3, I wish I had a system to play that. I keep hearing the most amazing things about that. They really went in on that.
If you get a new console or get your PC up to speed, definitely get it.
I've been hearing it on some podcasts, and it just seems the kind of thing that I would just lose hours and hours on, and I'd be willing to. It seems completely quality.
Yeah, I love it a lot, considering I wasn't a big fan of the second Witcher game and never played the first, so it has captured me.
I mean, I've heard a lot of people who even like Witcher 2, they're like, oh yeah, there were some problems, don't play it, but I liked it, but I get why other people don't, so I don't know. I'm kind of in and out with games, so I kind of fixate on certain ones for a while.
Yeah, but speaking of playing games, it's actually time to kind of wrap up the show, and what we always end with is talking about what we're playing and or maybe reading. And since you are a guest, you can go first.
Okay, I'll just go real quick. I'm still playing Splatoon. Try to find me on ranked. I need to squad up with some people. It's getting scary. Downloaded Undertale. My computer can run it very, very freshly and not that far at all, but already seems like something that I need to put the time into. As far as reading, I read Seconds by Brian Lee O'Malley. I really loved Scott Pilgrim. Seconds is, anything you say about it will be sort of a spoiler. Great book, pick it up. If you have the accessibility money to get it, I'd recommend it. And, I'm reading Homestuck. Some friends, convinced me to read it, so I'm in that now.
Okay.
I'm one of those people now.
I... Oh, go ahead.
It's going to take forever.
Yeah, we're doing it in kind of a book club style, so we have like goals or checkpoints every week. So that, I think with that, that kind of made it digestible for me, is that there's just X amount of pages each time. So yeah, I like the sense of humor. I we're still in the first act, but
yeah.
It just seems so esoteric and ridiculous. And that's I don't need like the trolls and all the absurd things to come in. I'm fine with them just screwing around in the house. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to it. So. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. David, do you want to go next, or do you want me to go next?
Yeah, sure, I'll go. I've been playing, I was pretty lazy most of this early week, because, you know, I had to drive a while and then so on. So I've been playing Fall Further, which is a mod to an expansion to Civilization IV. Oh, no, that's not accurate. That is a mod of a mod to an expansion of Civilization 4. There may be too many steps in this.
Wait,
the internet's a lovely place.
A mod of a mod of an expansion?
Of Civilization 4, yeah.
Who made this exhibit, or...?
Oh... And it's basically just Civilization 4, and they changed out the civilizations for, like, fantasy civilizations. So you have, like, lizardmen and dwarves and...
That sounds fun.
And dragons and stuff. And they have to do... And it has, like, all of these complex mechanics. Like, they added in, like, alignment. So you have a race-wide alignment... which is in line with what Tolkien wrote.
Was it the, like, what's the species that's always chaotic evil?
There's a few.
Okay. Okay, I'm not up on my Tolkien or my D&D. I need to learn it.
Yeah.
I haven't touched D&D in a while.
And there's one of the civilization options, the Grigori, which they seem to, the modders have created, like, custom scripts, basically, building on the fact that units could level up in Civilization 4, like they could get experience. So what they do is they occasionally produce hero units, and you just get to, like, wander around the map with them as, like, a pseudo-RPG thing where you click, like, explore dungeon, and they explore a dungeon, and then they die or not. Repeat forever until there's an actual... other civilization threatening you.
Wow. I might have to check that mod out. I don't know if I still have Civ 4. I have Civ 5, though.
Ooh, next gen.
I don't think there's a version of it for Civ 5.
Damn it. Now I want to play this mod.
Civ 5 has the Game of Thrones mods, though.
Huh. You can't skip that.
No, I've actually got Civ 5 for the PC, so...
But you can't train wizards in Game of Thrones, so...
That's a compelling argument.
Touché. See, now I want to play some Civ 5, and that's not something I've said in a long, long time.
You have a nice weekend coming up.
Well, mostly I'm going to be playing either Assassin's Creed Syndicate, more of it, because while we were in... LA, a friend of ours had us over, and we watched a good chunk of the beginning missions, and I was hooked.
Good.
We basically watched, like, one mission for each character. Unless there's three characters.
No, there's just the two that I know of. But once they got to play as Evie... I was like, I have to be Evie Fry. There's no if, and, or but about this. And depending on, you know, what I get into tonight, I may play a little bit more. But I was hooked because Evie's she's just fucking ruthless. I love it. She's not like, I'm just gonna, like, bop you with my cane. No, she's, like, doing groin shots, breaking necks, shanking folks. She's a girl after my own heart.
That's dope. I like it.
She like hits people in the voice box with that cane, which is a slow and just painful way to lose a fight.
Sends the message.
Yeah, because then you can't scream for help.
That's true.
It's tactical.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to play some Syndicate once we're done, because now I'm just thinking about that, like, huh. But that's actually what I've been playing. So I picked it up when we got back. And as for reading, I got the State of Play.
Ooh, how's that?
How is it? It's amazing. If you don't get it yourself, get someone to buy it for you for the holiday season. Because it's got Evan Narcisse. I always mess up his last name. But the snippet he posted on Kotaku.
I love that. So good.
The full article, though, I was like on the plane. I was like, no one talk to me right now. I'm reading this. And there's another one that I had never read, and it was probably before I really got into, like, a lot of stuff online for gaming to really talk about critique and things like that. But it's by a UK games journalist, and the title is a slur. Sorry, y'all, but hey, it is what it is. And I was, like, flinging the book at David, like, read this right now. It's called Bow Nigger. And he talks about this PvP match in, was it Knights of the Old Republic, or...
No, it was Jedi Knight 2, I believe.
Thank you.
Or it might have been Jedi Academy. This is part of the Dark Forces series. It'll take a minute to explain the titles. So, it was just in that area. People in the know will get it.
Okay. But, you know, he was doing PvP and dueling, and this person just kept telling him to bow, and he gets in this whole thing about, you know, the whole Jedi ritual of bowing to your opponent, kind of like, you know, any other duel. But the person kept hurling epithets at him, and it's this epic battle, like, not just in the game, but also of wills.
Right.
And it's a short but very brutal and compelling read. I don't know if you can still find it online, but even mentioning this was in the book, a bunch of people were like, okay, I've got to buy the hard copy now instead of just a digital copy, because this was just like kind of a seminal piece of new games journalism. That's how Austin Walker was talking about it. And, you know, Zoe Quinn's piece is in there, Anita Sarkeesian and Catherine Cross, you know, talking about different ways in which they've been approached and treated online because of their gender. And I'm through most of it because it's a relatively short and compact book, but the each piece is just so well done.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I would say, you know, this is one where, you know, caveat is I'm that person that still likes physical books. I like having a full bookshelf.
No, that's I'm on board with that still too.
But I would say, you know, get a copy if you're ever someplace where any of the authors are going to be and you get assigned, do so. But definitely get this book, because I think Evan's piece alone makes it worth buying, but there's so many, especially Anna Anthropy's piece. And I haven't got to Ian Bogost yet, but I've heard that one's really good as well.
Yeah, I heard some good things about that.
So yeah, so this is my not-so-shameless plug to go buy State of Play, because I'm sure by the time this goes up, you can still buy it for Christmas, because we are a little bit ahead of ourselves. So before I keep, like, gushing about this book, we should probably call it a night, because, I don't know about you, but I'm still hungry, and, you know, the more hungry I get, the less, you know, intellectually I can speak, because now I'm just thinking about food and reduced to my base instincts.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting a little bit of the hunger and collie going on, that hungry sadness.
Yeah.
It's about 10 o'clock here, so...
Oh, okay, so you're an hour ahead of me, and then, really ahead of David.
In the future, ooh.
Yes, and this episode is in the future by the time it goes on air.
Hopefully I'm not still hungry.
No, if you're still hungry by then, you might, like, just have starved to death. So, to wrap up this episode, thank you again for coming to hang out with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure, a lot of fun.
Most welcome. So, where can folks find you online?
Oof, I don't know if I want people to find me online. Yeah, just on Twitter, pretty much anywhere, I'd say. At Brother Dom. So, really go phonetic with it. BROTHADOM. You can find me at the blog I write for, Lady Geek Girl and Friends. Definitely give them a check out. Gotta plug the boss ladies. But just at ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. If you search through the authors, I'm there, Brother Dom. Nice little Sonic avatar. He's chilling on the beach with some sunglasses. you know, OC Remix. I'm trying to get back into that. So in the Overclocked Assembled stuff, I believe I'm Brother Dom there as well. And just that, you know, anywhere where there's a conversation about Race getting better, Sonic, Steven Universe, Splatoon, I'm probably not too far behind it.
Okay. David, where can folks find you?
I'm Red Conversation most places on Twitter, Patreon. Those are most of the things. I'm also on Twitch, but there it's Red _ Conversation because
ooh,
I couldn't remember my password for years.
I know, that's why I have 2 Hitbox accounts. And your website is?
Oh, right. And my website is davidoreeves.com. Has a contact form on it if you need to hire a fiction editor.
Yes, and I can say from experience, no matter how well you think you can write people, you will need an editor. So hey, maybe you should check out my co-host, because I have no shame. I'm going to plug his work. Get an editor. I've read some terrible fiction.
Check him out.
And last, I'm Cipher of Tyr everywhere. That's CypherOfTyr. Or you can find me under I Need Diverse Games, which is ineeddivgms.info is our site, and Twitch as well as ineeddivgames. And that is a wrap on this episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
We are the internet kids. We come in pieces. If you came here to judge us, you're just mad that you can't beat us. I've been leading double lives since the age of 12, navigating on the circuit boards like I made that shit myself, pushing out the information like a currency, but password protecting all the best secrets from my enemies. Samurai Black, come and punch me in the mouth. We can share those pistol kisses while we blow their fucking brains out. High tech low life on the rise.
Leviathan, you're so cute. Who's a good old dragon monster? Oh, yes you are. Yes you are.